Select Committee, and my head of the department and accounting officer, Mr. Brent Walters, will do the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me see. Chair, I want to start off by indicating that our presentation sticks to the letter that was sent to us. The letter that was sent to us asked us to speak about four things. Asked us to speak about trend in allocation actual expenditure, assessment of our monitoring capacity, what is the compliance with monthly reporting and the department's spending plans and the way forward. And our presentation covers these four things as indicated in the letter. So in introduction, I'd like to just indicate that this marks the seventh year that we received the conditional grant funding from the Department of Sport and Recreation. And the grant supports the three programs in sport that we have: school sport mass participation program, Sierra Lala mass community participation program, the legacy / club development program. I need to indicate that we employ 23 permanent staff and 520 sport assistants, activity coordinators and hub coordinators to be able to actually execute this program. And in implementing the grant that we receive, we work in partnership with federations, schools, school sports structures, sports sectors and communities, who often serve as implementing agents for some of the identified and prioritized projects. Then to go on to the conditional grant allocation, we received a total grant allocation of 42.964 million and is broken down as follows: school sport 11.062 million, Sierra Lala community mass participation 11.062 million, club development 8.336 million, which is 40% of the legacy budget, and then a legacy budget of 12.504 million rand. In terms of the legacy projects, we feel that probably needs a little bit more explanation. We've allocated 1 million rand to youth camps, 1 million rand to outreach projects, 3.75 million to SA Games, which my previous colleagues mentioned, coming up in October. 4.75 out to rural clubs and sport councils, and then we have something called vertical training chair, which is training involving technical courses, specific sport coaching courses and basic administration courses, and then 6% of that is dedicated to employment of staff. In terms of the trends as requested in the letter, we would like to point out that over the past 3 years, in 2008 and 9, we spent 99.8% of this conditional grant. 2009-10, 99.5% of the conditional grant. In 2010-11, 99.7% of the conditional grant. And we see no reason why we cannot continue that trend. The next slide, Chair, is a breakdown of trends over the past 3 years in terms of that grant. In the first year, we had a 45,000 rand saving on a 27.446 million budget. In the second year, 174,000 rand saving on a 38.237 million rand budget, and in 10-11, a 90,000 rand saving on a 40.532 million rand budget. Our monitoring capacity in the first quarter, the department monitors by using officials to do official visits to the projects. We undertake these visits on a fortnightly basis, and we track our expenditure on these programs through something called monthly finance focus meetings, where we keep track on conditional grant expenditure. In order to confirm and counter check, we use BAS monthly expenditure reports, and they confirm whether we have over or under expenditure against our cash flow. Our actual expenditure in the first quarter is 14%, as has been indicated by the National Treasury, and we agree with those figures. That is the breakdown. However, I would like to indicate that it represents 75% of what we actually had projected in terms of the cash flow. So, and it's in line, roughly, Chair, with what happened last year, where we're actually 14% below what we actually expended last year. So we feel that in a way we're on track. However, we do give in the next slide the reasons as to why that slight variation has occurred, the variance. As indicated earlier, we employ 23 permanent and 520 staff or activity coordinators, sport assistants and so on. and some of the HR processes weren't completed during the first quarter as we thought they would have been, and therefore these people were only appointed in the second quarter. Then also on the clubs, some of the identification and verification processes of clubs only took place during the first quarter, and also the capacity building that we were supposed to expand in the first quarter, some of it we've only did in the second quarter. So that accounts for, if you look at what we had projected, expenditure, 8 million rand, but we only spent 6 million rand, then that accounts for that variance, those three reasons in terms of the variance. We believe we are in compliance with all the reporting requirements. I think that was confirmed by the presentation of National Treasury, except for the question of the funding issue. However, I have explained that the template was the issue, but we have submitted it, and I'm sure our Sport and Recreation South Africa colleague can confirm that. How will the rest of our budget be spent? Well, I'll say that is the breakdown. In terms of the rest of our budget, second quarter 13.1 for 1 million, third quarter 13.937 million, fourth quarter 7.666 million, and then the last slide, second last slide, is saying what are the major expenditure items that will constitute that expenditure. The first of these will be the SA Games, which is taking place in October of this year, the first week of October. We have 552 participants from our province, and that is a massive expenditure which is counted against this program. We've done all the preparation, all the knockout phases, all the selection, and now we are busy with uniforms and procurement of the transport and all those other things which then come onto the reflection of the costs which will be taken up in the second and third quarter costs. National Department has a national youth camp that they wish to do. We are waiting for the date. However, we have planned to do two in preparation for the national youth camp as soon as we receive that date. Our capacity building, skills development, technical training, basic admin courses, all the vertical training stuff will continue. And then finally, Chair, a big item of expenditure is in something called our mass opportunity and development centers. And these are the programs which take place after school hours between the hours of 2 and 6 in 168 schools across the province that have been identified through this conditional grant. We call them mod centers, where the children have their schooling from the morning 8 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They our staff, our sport assistants take over and run programs inside those centers. So that will be also ongoing. And then finally, Chair, our sharp centers, which is where the best students from those 168 centers get taken up into special camps which happen every second month in something called sharp centers, which stands for Sport Higher Performance Advancement and Recreation Programs. But essentially what it is, it's a talent ID camp that happens. So those are the main items in terms of where we think of big budget items for expenditure, and we will therefore then finally confident that given our trends, Chair, we will spend the full amount of this budget. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Cape. Time for questions for further to the members. Honorable Dear Makubela Mashile.
Chairperson, thank you for the presentation. If there's any savings on the budget, you can pass it on to the Northern Cape. We are the biggest province in the country. I'm coming from that province, and my people are sitting down there. But that's just a commercial for my province. Chair, I want to know, and that goes to each province that must still present, is your MPP program rolled out to all the towns in the rural areas as well? Small towns in the area of Ochoa, they are up in the mountains. To drive between Beaufort West and Beaufort West, going over to the Northern Cape, all those small places, are those learners exposed to this program? After the responses, we'll see what the follow-up will be. It goes to each problem. That's just to do with the game. Still present.
Thanks, Chairperson. I got only one question. On page 7, the presenter talk about the saving. I would like to know if this saving occurs, whereas the full service delivery as required has been done, or it was just a saving just because you must say.
Thanks, Chairperson. I just want to respond to the first comment. I think the one that says the report is according to the letter that has been sent. I may not be knowing what our administrators have done with the provinces on it in relation to the particular letter, but generally what one would understand is that the letter may be spelling out at least the minimum information that we expect in the presentation. And where there is any additional information that is supposed to be clarified more for us to be able to know the province, what it is doing with the grant, I'm sure that information, as long as it's relevant, is welcome. Chair, what I'm saying that is the province is not to refuse with, not to be economic with the information.
Okay.
That may assist us to understand them better. And I think that's the one point that I just wanted to make.
Okay.
And then they are actually using school sports structures and federations as implementing agents. I'm sure we have been really talking about this, especially in relation to Gauteng and Western Cape, or even on many other grounds. The question that arises, Chair, here is when do they report expenditure? When the money goes past to others for spending and for implementation, I think the serious point becomes the monitoring and when do we actually report expenditure. Do we report expenditure when the money goes from the department to an agency? Or when? I think this is what is a little bit important for us to understand. And I think even I'm not sure whether I still remember the name, is School Sports or a South African Sports Agency or something.
Yeah.
Where yes, South African Sports, whatever. Yes, whether also they are aware of this specific tendency. You know, so that I think we need to really get closer to how this money changes hands and when it is reported to have been spent. And because surely I think there may be things that we may not be happy about. And of course, Chair, we have not really heard of drastic changes in the administration of this particular grant in Western Cape. But of course, there is a report of a minus 14% drop in relation to last year's first quarter spending. And whether there is any detailed information that talks to that, I've heard. The presenter has just tried to touch it in passing, but not actually disclosing anything that talks to why they are going down minus 14. I would like to hear that if there is anything to be said, Chair. Then really we just want to emphasize as well to Western Cape the need for us to appoint people that are appropriately qualified to be able to make the meaningful impact, not just to spend money. I think South Africa is not in the business of just spending money. It is in the business of delivering services. Therefore, any relevant person would just spend money instead of delivering services. We like the spending, we are talking about the spending, but all what we are saying ourselves as politicians, we are actually saying we are actually having these hearings on delivery of services in terms of sports. Although we are doing it in terms of the number. And therefore we need efficient expenditure. Chair, then the next question that arises is the
the underspending, even if Western Cape claims to be spending, which is correct, but the 2008-2009, there is 45,000 that people did not benefit from it. Then 2009-2010, then there is 174,000 that your people did not benefit. And then 2010-2011, then it's 90,000. And by today, as we are speaking now, I think we are roughly around 300,000 that worth of sports services that your people in Western Cape did not receive, even when government has made resources for those services to be delivered. And I would definitely want to hear the comment from the MEC, because you see, when you look on annual, it may look like small little figures, but this money that we're talking about, they can make a lot of changes in certain schools, in certain federations, in providing equipment, balls. I mean, they can buy balls for the whole country of the whole world. I mean, it's 300,000 rand. And but people did not benefit when the funds are there, sitting in front of us. I think that is what I would have loved the politician just simply to stand with me on this side, looking at the services that have been denied to people, and how we can actually improve on this particular matter. That when we have not spent all the money, let's talk about a cent, let's talk about 10 rand, but the money that can buy a piece of sport equipment, why don't we spend it? If we've got 3 months knowing that this money is not going to be spent, and thank you.
On this slide, I'm seeing the allocation of 1 million for a youth camp and the outreach project. If I may ask, what formula has been used to come to this allocation? Thanks.
Thank you very much. I think you have noted all the questions. But I'm sure your opening remarks was out of realization that you can't just say I've spent 10 rand without telling us on what. So I hope that as you respond, because there's that slight lacking in your presentation, because the most important thing for us is not only the figure of what you have spent and what you have not spent, but also something for you to show that I've spent 10 rand on this. And then you can only be in the position then to be able to know as to whether this money that's been used for the purpose intended. So that will be my first comments. But my question would be, under schools, how many schools are benefiting out of this particular program? And your role now as a department in this magnificent Fridays campaign. You may come in.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for these questions. Some of these questions I will answer, and some I will refer to the head of the department. The first question from Mr. De Beer regarding the rural towns. Chairperson, I can just mention that we have done two studies. One is called the growth potential of towns and cities in the Western Cape. And secondly, the Western Cape is 129,000 square kilometers in size. And I have deliberately informed my members of the cabinet and members of the provincial parliament that Cape Town is not the Western Cape. And I've done this particularly to give emphasis on the rural development. A second study was done about from the National Department of Social Development in terms of the context of poverty and the presidency, and the research from the presidency in terms of the anti-poverty strategy indicates that the vast areas that is covered in terms of poverty are in the Eden district and in the Cape Winelands district, and hence my focus is on rural development to deal with the anti-poverty strategy. The third study was done about the national department in terms of rural development focus, and in terms of the Western Cape, we have two nodal areas. Again, the Eden District, and secondly, the Cape West Coast. And so we have deliberately, Mr. De Beer, targeted rural areas to give them primary focus. Our current research also indicates that this is where sport is actively pursued by the communities, where every cent is actually better spent in rural areas than in urban areas. So your question was, does our program cover the rural areas? What we have done in the Western Cape, we have 98 EMDCs, educational management districts, areas from education, 98, and we have put last year one of these MOT centers in each of these areas throughout the Western Cape to cover the geographical space of 129,000 square kilometers in terms of 5.2 million citizens. So we have made absolutely sure that every educational district area has access to this particular program called the MOT Center, Mass Opportunity for the Development in Sport. What we've also done, in addition to this, we have targeted a thing called rural school sport, rural sport. In addition to that, we've also targeted what we call farm sport development. So not only rural, but also the farm areas in these various rural areas. So we have specifically, and that's my intention, like you from the Northern Cape, I'm from the West Coast, I am deliberately, right? Then that explains also why we feel the same about the rural development, so I don't have to spend more time on that. But I can also mention, Mr. De Beer referred to Outworn. I had recently had a meeting with the manager of the Kaka in Kaka Agri, Mr. Pete Lauder, to speak about how do we further roll this out in that particular area. And I can also mention to you that that in the area of the RIST, there is a Mass Opportunity Development Center in that particular area. So the agenda for rural development is actively pursued between myself and the Minister of Agriculture in the Western Cape, and I'm determined to continue to do so. Chairperson, the HOD will reply to the issue of the savings, but I just want to mention the context of that saving. The context in terms of this money that you refer to is 115 million, and the savings over the 3-year period is in the area of 300,000 rand. This is nothing unusual in any government department or even in any business. Is part of the business processes, but the HOD can further deal with that. So it is a fraction of a percentage in terms of our spending patterns. But I think the question is right. We have to explain to this committee why that happened and how it happens. Chairperson, there was also a remark that we are efficient with certain information, so I will be giving all the background information that maybe is needed for this committee. We in the Western Cape have piloted a program called MOT Centers. Our research indicated from the police that crime happens mostly in terms of crime that involves the youth happens between 2 o'clock in the afternoon and 6 o'clock. And the reasons that this committee can understand, parents are at work, no supervision, so that's the high period for crime. This is also confirmed by the Department of Social Development in terms of antisocial behavior, drug, substance abuse, and gangsterism that happens in that period. And so, Chairperson, we have pioneered this concept in the Western Cape called MOT Centers to put at these schools two coaches. One is a coordinator, but both are coaches at these schools. 98 we started last year at these selected schools. The purpose of these MOT Centers is to see that we can create excitement at the school again. Also, when you have activity between 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock at the school, nobody is going to do crime at the school because there's a presence of people, there's a hype of activity. But also, Chairperson, at the schools, we also want children to have fun. In addition to that, we also want to see if there's any talent coming through in this particular program. And thirdly, we believe we also want to promote healthy lifestyles for children. So this is a very important program in not only in the context of sport, but in the context of reducing crime, because in one place the police have indicated there's less crime because children are now taking part in this after school program. So for example, in Hamburg, where there was youth unrest and things like that, we see huge enthusiasm from the youth to take part in this program. It's a responsibility of government chairperson also to provide opportunities for the youth, and that's what we are doing. The question from the committee was how many schools? 155 of these mod centers countrywide. Obviously you can just go so far in terms of the conditional grant. Sorry, I spoke about not the country. 155 of these schools are covered in the Western Cape province. Again, bias focused towards the rural areas. So, Chairperson, we think this is a good concept. We pilot it, and when you pilot a new concept, you're about to make certain mistakes, you're about to learn, you're about to fail. We believe in failing forward. So this is the additional information that I would like to provide the committee, but this is an excellent program and we're very happy. My HOD will answer the question that comes from the committee regarding to funding that you transfer to federations and how are we doing the M&E. I can just mention, Chairperson, this is in fact a very valid question about if you get money from conditional grant to a province and then you transfer the money to federations, how are you going to supervise the monitoring and evaluation of the expenditure in that particular regard? What we have done this year to improve the financial governance of federations, in the past we normally transfer this money in December or even in January, whereas the financial year starts in April. And that's not good governance. This year, we have improved our financial governance by giving the money in the beginning of the financial year, because our financial year starts, not only starts on the 1st of April, the budget is approved in March, so that we can actually start spending. So this year, the Chairperson, in May, we've allocated all the money to the federations so that we are in a better position to monitor actual expenditure over the scope of the financial year, rather than to transfer the money to them in January, and March is the end of the financial year and they have only 3 months to spend the money. So we have done a little bit of work, and I want to thank my accounting office and Advocate Lyndon Bauer who pioneered this concept. So the federations in the Western Cape have all received the allocations in the second month of the financial year, and this we have done to improve the financial governance in this particular regard. But Chairperson, the question was more specifically, how do we do the monitoring and evaluation about the money that we transfer? And I'm going to ask the HOD to speak more specifically about that. Also, Chairperson, there was a question relating to people that must be appointed, must not only be appointed, they must not only spend money, they must be appointed because they are qualified. Well, Chairperson, I can confirm that in the beginning of this year, we have appointed Advocate Lyndon Bauer, former president of the Western Cape Sports Council, as the chief director for sport, an excellent person. We've also appointed a person responsible for school sport, the mass participation in school sport, an excellent person, really, in my view, fit for purpose. Chairperson, there was also a last question relating to the youth camp. My HOD will answer that particular question. I have already answered the question relating to the number of schools. Now, obviously, people can ask me, we have 1,200 schools, why only 168? Obviously, Chairperson, this is a function of the current budget, but we're very convinced that the budget of this department is well spent. Chairperson, last week, the budget for the quarterly performance review was tabled in our cabinet meeting. Our provincial minister, MEC for Finance and Development, did have a serious discussions about some of these matters that you are also raising here with us. But based on the trend analysis of the last 3 years, 99% of our budget was spent, and I'm confident that we will be able to spend it. Chairperson, lastly, you have heard that a sizable bulk of the money will also be spent later in October, as a result of a SA Sports games that is only taking place the latter part of this year. So that's the reason why that money cannot be spent for now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, MEC and Chair. Just maybe want to just clarify in terms of the money that my MEC has indicated we transfer to federations. I think we need to just state for the committee's purposes that money that we transfer does not come out of the conditional grant. Because I can see my colleague Kelly from Sport and Recreation South Africa wondering. We subsidize, cross-subsidize as a department from the equitable share. We receive 42 million rand from SRSA via the conditional grant, and another 38 million rand is put in by the department from a provincial treasury equitable share, and that money goes there. So that's the first point I want to make. The second point, just in terms of the partnerships, what happens is essentially we have these sport assistants inside schools. They are obviously not people who are specialists in, say, cricket or swimming or netball. We then need to get the federation, what their job is, the sport assistant, is to organize the entire day, organize the activities, coordinate what's going to happen, who's going to come when. We then need to work with the federations to actually do the cricket coaching, because the sport assistant can't do the cricket coaching. They're not qualified to do cricket coaching. They're qualified in organizing sport and getting people into a program. So the when I spoke about the implementing agents, what I'm saying is that at the specific code level, at the technical level, there we do need to use implementing agents, because obviously our sport assistants will not be qualified to be able to do level one coaching courses in swimming or level one coaching courses in cricket or whatever other sport it is. So in terms of that, then I think I used the wrong word, Jay. I apologize for that. It's not a saving, it's the under expenditure that we had in response to, I think one of the members asked, a saving. It's not a saving, I'm sorry, sir, I used the wrong word. It's the under expenditure, and it amounts to, as MEC has said, 300,000 out of 115 million rand. It's 1/350th of a percentage. It's very little money in terms of the overall. And no people were actually excluded. It's at the end of the year when the books close, whatever forward orders we have, whoever makes the cut at that time in terms of the financial process, you're never going to get your budget onto 100% unless you overspend. That's the only way you can get your budget onto 100%. From a technical point of view, the only way you can get your budget on 100% is you need to overspend, then it will be 100%. So it's about meeting that. It's a very fractional percentage. On the legacy grant and who decided on this matter, how did the question was asked in terms of the formula. What is the formula we used? Say there was a meeting organized in the third quarter conditional grant workshop with provinces, all the provinces, on the 27th and 28th of January 2011, chaired by our colleague from Sport and Recreation South Africa, where agreement with all the provinces was reached, so it's the same for all provinces. 5% of the legacy allocation for delivery of National Ministers Outreach Program, each province to allocate 5 million for SA Games, vertical development training, 40% club development, and so forth, in a memo to us sent by Sport and Recreation South Africa. So that's how we got to those figures that's there, and then in fact youth camp is on the other side, and other things which is in this letter that we received. I think that basically covers the questions, Jay. Chair, we have had a Magnificent Friday program, specifically in partnership with our colleagues at National. In fact, I think the day after Parliament opened, Minister Bumbalola had a big thing with us here inside our province, which we hosted. And those Magnificent Fridays now are going on. In fact, we first had it for, I think it was soccer, cricket, and netball, and rugby now. Now it's based on the rugby team.
I think we did want to know the details of why have you dropped in the first quarter by 14% when structural or institutional arrangement you haven't changed anything.
Yeah.
What actually does it do?
Thank you, Chair. I think the reasons are in terms of appointments of staff. That's the major reason. As I indicated, basically, a number of personnel, sport assistants and activity coordinators, we only appointed them in the second quarter, but we budgeted to appoint them in the first quarter.
So therefore there was a drop off of that 14. That's the main reason. That is the main reason why there's a drop off.
Thank you very much. I think you'll supply us then with more details insofar as your targets and your what you have achieved in the first one. If you can just send that to...
We'll do that, Chair.
Is that all from Mr. Chair?
Chairperson, maybe one of the other reasons is we have centralized the HR functions, and in the past we were doing the HR function ourselves, every department. But now it is centralized, and this, as you know, can imagine, centralization by its very nature leads sometimes to a slower or a delay in the actual appointments of this particular process. So that's the reason why this has not happened.
Thank you very much, Western Cape. Can I check the provinces that I'm still going to call? Mpumalanga, there's no MEC there?
No.
Is Limpopo here? The MEC here? Is KZN here? The MEC here? And Northern Cape, the MEC is not here. Gauteng? The MEC here? We've got five provinces and now no MEC. You see, the challenge I have is that it has been a tradition that we don't easily take presentations from provinces in the absence of political heads. That's why other provinces you find MECs being here. We have made an exception in situations where MECs will consult with myself or the chairs of committees and agree to who should come. Under such circumstances, we do make an exception to the rule and allow provinces to report. But all these five provinces, all of them, I haven't received any communication from the MECs or any indication from them that they will not be able to attend because of what they were reading. Only Eastern Cape. But we then agreed with the MEC that she comes and then she'll be the first to start. That's why she started in the morning and she was then released to attend to the provincial court. But all other MECs, I must be honest with you, for the record, they have not made any communication. And I am not about to break away from that tradition. Otherwise, in future, all MECs will not come to this meeting and say we have set a meeting. Like I said, we do make exceptions in consultation between us as politicians and agree as to who should come. Because sometimes you get important and when we make follow up with political heads, some of them eventually they do not even agree with that kind of thing.
I'm reading the team, Chair. And let me speak for the record.
No, don't speak for the MEC. I do have a letter here. The letter is not even from the MEC. For example, we know officials, even our secretary sometimes do that. If I don't attend the meeting, they will think that we must have taken a close on my behalf. Which is good, we're trying to cover me. But I'm also a politician. I want a direct contact with the MEC. I'm taking your position here, by the way.
Okay.
Limpopo? Who's leading the delegation?
The MEC could not make it here because there was a delay in getting the information, and she was in the National Executive Committee of the ruling party until late 10:30 yesterday.
Okay.
So,
Okay. Malcolm King.
Good morning, Honorable Chair.
I've got an apology letter from your chief whip, not from the MEC.
Yeah. I'm actually accompanied by the CFO and sports director.
Is that it?
Morning, Chair. We have the statement, the acting HOD, and I'm accompanied by the acting general manager for sport coordination.
This acting HOD, where are the actual HOD?
We haven't appointed an HOD.
We haven't appointed yet. The same issue.
The same.
Okay. Which other province, Gauteng?
Good morning, Chair. Abdullah Ismail, Chief Financial Officer for Gauteng, representing Gauteng here on behalf of my MEC. I'm not sure if you received this letter, but there was a legislative hearing that we had to attend this morning.
I have nothing from Gauteng.
I thank you, Chair. I'm not sure if this you will accept. I received an SMS from the HOD of the Northwest stating that herself together with the MEC will not make it to today's meeting because they only received the notification yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, we should have read it between the SMS and directly instead of us. But because the reality is that when the information is dispatched to province, it is done all at the same time. Now, first, it's my province. They are quite aware, but it's fine. The guy issue will take up with the NEC. But, ladies and gentlemen, that is the dilemma we find ourselves in now. Because all of you, all five of you, except for Eastern Cape and at least the MEC Cape, none of your leaders communicated with me or any of the chairpersons participating in this particular committee. You see. And I think that in the last meeting, we also emphasized this point. In all our meetings, we do emphasize this point. It's a pity you are all here and they decided not to come for whatever reason. And for us, it's not a difficult thing to say, no, don't present, we'll call you again. We've been doing that a number of times. Although the expenditure thereof becomes a waste at the end of the day. But I hope you'll appreciate the reasons why you would prefer to interact with yourself in the presence of your enemies. Not only to receive reports from yourself as officials. Because the ultimate buck stops with them in terms of those particular departments. But I'm not sure I will get guidance from members of the committee. We can all speak to members. Let's start with honor of the GPS administrator.
Chairperson, the MEC is a critical head of that department, heading the ministry. The MEC's office must engage with the chief whip of the provincial legislature on a weekly basis regarding the program of the legislature, the program of the National Council of Provinces, because we are representing provinces. The NCOP program goes to provincial legislators on a weekly basis after the program meeting adopted the program of the NCOP, or vice versa. So there's no excuse that the MEC or the HOM come up and say, but we didn't know. That excuse is not on, sorry. So that must be corrected back in the provinces. Those MECs, those HODs who are here, or acting HODs, let's take this message back. The first call the HOM makes in the morning is a call to the chief whip's office. What is happening? Because the chief whip is running the institution, the provincial legislator is a politician. secondly, administratively, we will have to engage with the NCOP secretaries. When are we coming to Cape Town to come and present on this following grant? Because you know you will come to Cape Town. It's just a few tips we are giving to you, that we don't get into this position again. It's mutual respect between the NCOP and the provincial legislators and the nation. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Chairperson. Yeah, I think the very first critical point is that we're sitting with majority of the HOD, they are being acting on HOD, which by the end of next year they will not be in those positions. The question is talking to them, agreeing on certain things, and 2 weeks down the line, you are no longer in charge. Somebody comes in, then has got a different objective altogether, how to handle things. Then we have just misused our time. I think that's one. Number two, the chair, I think we can communicate to them that we are meeting a lot of municipalities. And we come across situations where a municipal manager simply does not inform the mayor because of certain technicalities, wants to report without the mayor because he's afraid of being exposed on certain things. Deliberately, not informing the mayor to attend a specific meeting that we want to attend. Now, these things have actually taught us a lesson. To, you know, to say if the MEC is not attending here, if that MEC was fully informed about the request to come and appear here, the MEC would make contact with the chairperson. But now if you have the MEC not even talking to the chairperson, the question that arises, have you informed the MEC that he or she is expected to appear here? Have you not deliberately as well just decided not to actually inform the MEC to come because of certain things or certain contents that you wouldn't like to divulge in the presence of the MEC? So we find ourselves in that big problem. And but at the end of the day, like as I said, when we were talking to Western Cape, that doesn't matter the numbers that you are going to report to us and how you're trying to actually meet those numbers. But there must be somebody who translates the numbers into services rendered. And that is the politician. And if he feels or she feels that whatever you are doing in terms of those numbers you are reporting as the HOD, but it does not amount to proper, efficient service delivery. We know that when you go back, then you are going to face the music there to correct you how you do things. Now you are alone. You enjoy our stories. Then you say, no, I've complied, I've attended. They can't say we've not attended. But then we can just say, no, it's fine. Business as usual. Then you go back home and there's nothing that happens. And there's nobody that actually now monitors what is supposed to be done. And Chair, I would really agree, Chair, that we should not create a wrong precedent which is not going to assist the whole oversight function that we are trying to do. And the actual M&E that is supposed to happen within the department as well. And Chair, agree with you fully that we should not break our own principles. Amanda.
Yeah, thanks, Chair Captain. We are doing monitoring. And the government is being lambasted time and again for poor service delivery. And by that, we are not going to compromise our monitoring tool. Therefore, I okay with the last speaker that we don't compromise and send them back. So that other MECs are coming here time and again. Especially if you take the Eastern Cape one, which was here, and they go to another meeting, then we cannot compromise others to call more to present before.
Jefferson. I support the tender for commercial files in Chapter 10. I think there are some of the best potential.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, you explained the dilemma that this committee finds itself in, that there is a requirement for political heads to be present. On the other hand, if you look around this room and you see the number of people sitting here who are going to have to come back, and the amount of money that's going to cost the taxpayer, and in addition the time out of their provinces and out of doing the very service delivery we want them to do, it's very difficult then to say come back next week or the week thereafter. And may I then suggest that the MECs, I'm sure, are very competent people, and that they come back on their own and they brief us, and they make sure that they get briefed by the very officials who are sitting in this room today. They've heard the kind of questions that we will ask them, they understand what we require, and let the MEC now come and stand on her own or his own and account to this committee. Mr. Chairman, that would put additional pressure on those MECs who have been rather rude in not making any arrangements with you or the Honourable Tabir about not being present today, and it will also ensure that the officials are able to continue doing the work they should be doing, and also save the taxpayer a considerable amount of money. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you very much, Honourable Members. Those are the views of members of the committee, as you all have heard, Honourable MECs and ladies and gentlemen. I think what will be the situation is that we will accept the report from those five provinces as tabled, but however, in terms of presentation and engagement with those particular reports, it's a matter that we will have to do in the presence of those particular MECs. And from this end, we will then communicate at first with the MECs and with a date on which we want all of them, all five of them, of course, to appear in terms of us having to interact and engage with them on the report as tabled, because we do have got all those reports here. So, and I hope that officials that are here from all those provinces, Gauteng is for the second time. There seems to be a trend in your MEC not coming to this meeting. We are beginning to be very much concerned. I think Northern Cape as well. It's becoming now a tradition that your MEC don't appear every time they send officials. So this time around, unfortunately, as we expressed our views, we're not going to do that. The MEC from Free State, the MEC from Western Cape and Eastern Cape, they have been very consistent in attending this particular meeting. Northwest, the other time they were here, but this time around they are not here. So we are looking at those particular kind of challenges, and we are noting those things. I would request that you pass the message, but at the same time, we'll also report this non-attendance to the chairperson and the council, so that they can be able to take it up with the leaders of government leaders in those provinces, including the premier, because we are very much serious in terms of monitoring the expenditure on the ground. I'm sure you might have heard the pronouncement by the Minister of Finance in terms of how provinces performed on various grants during the previous financial year, and it's quite worrying. It's quite worrying, and therefore we need to be taking this thing very seriously. Before we close, the department from National is on the program, and we'd like to get your views and comments.
Thank you, Chair. It's
accept it's difficult to just do and pick some out of the presentations that were made today. However, I'll talk to the report that we received from the provinces, the first quarter report that we received from the provinces. Provinces managed to submit their business plans, you know, 30 days after the last day of the last quarter, with the exception of the Northwest and the Eastern Cape. But we did, however, receive the reports before the national submission of the 15th of August. However, when we looked at the quality of spend, it's actually a common concern. And even last year, we complained about the quality of spend, that, you know, we transfer money, but we don't see the fruits of what we have actually just planting in some of the provinces. There are provinces that are really performing quite well, and we've seen remarkable improvements, but there are provinces that really need intervention, serious intervention from sports and recreation provinces.
I think sort of for the benefit of improvement, would you mind to name the provinces that are performing better in terms of your own assessment and those that still have to improve, so that we get a clear picture and they themselves, if they are here, can be able to change the target that
you. Okay, thank you, Chair. I thought I'd actually escape from doing it, but I think I should. I'll start with the bad news first. Provinces that have been really quite consistent, especially when it comes to expenditure patterns. The Eastern Cape was actually also very disappointed with the presentation earlier on as well, because we're battling with a province. Last year, you know, you probably saw the published report figures that, you know, they underspent by 10 million or so. And in this first quarter, this financial year as well, their expenditure pattern was actually quite disappointing. And also, you know, I'm glad that the chairperson also raised, you know, when the MEC indicated, you know, reasons for under expenditure, the issue of late transfer, and it's not late, it's a published date for transfers. We said, actually, it was the advice as well from Treasury, because we realized that, you know, cleaning up business plans and on looking at all these compliance matters, transferring fines on the 15th of April is a bit risky. So we all agreed, and it was published, and all provinces were quite aware that the asset transfers will be on the 30th. However, you know, there's just quite a number of challenges, and I'm glad that you attended to that in terms of, you know, giving reasons for a poor expenditure. So Eastern Cape is really problematic. We have actually just marked red as one province that would actually intervene directly from national. And this is followed by your province, Chairperson, Northwest. We're battling with quite a number of compliance matters, especially when it comes to annual reports, you know, the quarterly reports and monthly reports. Because you see, these are documents that really give us an indication as to whether are we making progress or not. Do we really need to really call for additional assistance? Lastly, Chair, it's the Mpumalanga, it is improving, and I know when you look at the expenditure pattern, you actually say they are spending, but the quality, we don't know what they're doing with the money, because we battle to get you know, detailed reports from the province. But the other provinces are doing extremely well, and I know you know, Julius, because the MEC is here, and both MECs are here. Jurassic One is buying their face, but you know, the two provinces, Free State and Western Cape. Western Cape, when it comes to compliance matters, but in terms of grassroots participation, you know, we're not seeing it, we're still battling, but we're hoping that, you know, with the presence of national, because we also are limited at national in terms of doing M&E in the provinces. So because they complied, you know, and in terms of submitting reports and documents, and it's really not highlighted as red, you know, because it's not really urgent. However, you know, we get complaints and receive letters from communities stating that there isn't much happening there, and we'll engage with the province when it comes to that. However, the Free State, we've seen some remarkable improvements in the province, and also KZN, they deal with quite a number of communities and challenges, rural communities, but we're seeing remarkable improvements in that province. And I know in terms of expenditure pattern, it's as if they're not spending, because it shows the first quarter the spending is very slow, but it was also due to restructuring. But there's a common problem that affects all 9 provinces. It's the issue of not taking advantage of the 6%. And I'm glad Chair asked earlier on the quality of the people that they appoint. You know, we've made a space for provinces to appoint qualified people and take advantage of the 6% allocation within the framework. But provinces are not doing that. They continue paying people on stipendry, and you end up with mediocre mediocre performance, because, you know, it's just a touch and go. People appointed on contract 6 months or a year, and hence even some provinces have done away with the issue of stipendry, and hence maybe there is some improvement there, because they rely a lot on volunteers, and they took advantage of the 6%. But other provinces, I say actually 98% of the provinces, are not taking advantage of the 6%. And 6%, we're saying job evaluate, come up with a specs, advertise, and I know they are scared to appoint on a permanent basis. The framework says permanent. So if we said to them, if they are scared to appoint on permanent basis, they can actually just appoint 5-year contracts. But job evaluate, get competent people to assist on the management of the grant. So they are not taking.
Thank you very much, man. That's a story from National. I think one of the members, like I said, we will reconvene again soon. Let me again thank the 2 MECs who are present here. Thank you very much for your continued support and honoring of these meetings. We have taken note of some of the issues that have been raised, particularly from Christians. And it is our view that even the national department here, some of those issues will elevate them to the level of the minister. And at the same time, we will also be expecting the province to raise those via those provincial channels. But it is also our view that in some of our future meetings, we would obviously expect or invite both Minister Mbalula, and in terms of the outside of things, invite Minister Mashatile, so that we begin to share ideas on some of the things that we are confronted with in terms of making a success of the work that we are doing. I think we are done for the day, ladies and gentlemen, and honorable members. And this meeting stands adjourned. Thank you.
I was surprised also, but I thought maybe there's something wrong that you say.
Something wrong with
me. Yes. No, no, that's happy.
No, no.
Jambu.
Jambu.
Yeah, no, no, it's understandable. It's understandable.
No painful stuff.
Hello.
Rafael.
Hello.
Rafael. Yeah.